Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Yesterday in Burundi, the government announced that presidential and parliamentary elections planned for this Friday will be indefinitely postponed. The announcement follows more than a month of unrest as protesters and police have clashed in the capital of Bujumbura, leading to dozens of deaths and large-scale imprisonment and an escalating refugee crisis. The protests erupted after the current two-term president, Pierre Nkurunziza, announced that he would seek an unconstitutional third term. For an update on the situation in Burundi, KBOO's Sam Bowman spoke via Skype with Jean-Claude Nkundua, a peace-building practitioner based in Burundi but currently living in Kigali, Rwanda, due to the ongoing crisis. The full interview can be found on our website at kboo.fm/news-in-depth.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience since the unrest began in Bujumbura? When did you leave Burundi?
I left Burundi 2 days before the coup, and I left Burundi just for bringing my family in a safe place, hoping to go back to Bujumbura to continue the work that I was doing. That time, the media were burnt down, and organizations, activists left Burundi, and most of human rights defenders went in a hiding place. Then I was not able to go back anymore.
Have you been able to stay in contact with people in Burundi?
Oh, yeah. Every day, every second, I'm always connected.
Yesterday, the elections were postponed that had been scheduled for this Friday. What's the reaction been on the ground in Burundi to that decision?
People seem to be indifferent because people are not hopeful about the outcome of these elections, because this is first was the result of the president's regional summit, the East Africa Community Summit. That actually had in priority, and most of the expectations of people in Burundi were for this president to deal with the root of the crisis, which is the third term of the current president. But then they talked about elections and delaying elections. And for them, I think for the majority of the people of Burundi, this delaying of elections is delaying crisis. It's not something hopeful. Actually, it's something disappointing.
Where do you see this crisis heading? Do you think that the country is at a turning point, or do you think there's any opportunity to return to whatever was normal before the crisis occurred?
There are different scenarios to expect now. First, international community from the UN Security Council's meetings have shown the Burundian people that they are not able to help Burundi resolving problems. And the African Union have been too bureaucratic in the process, and they've been just useless statements, and this also is a message showing Burundians that African Union is not able to help. And then the big hope was from the East African community, and what the East African community has just done and showed the Burundian as a message is that they are not able to support their local efforts, that Burundian need to think on their own. And this is a dangerous message from the people, because it means that if you guys are not standing by yourself, there is no help around you. So this is a country that has been in civil war for decades, and you are expecting people to find their own means, and then you can expect to have some rebel groups organizing themselves in the region to be able to defend themselves, because it's all efforts that have been done except the United States really did a clear message against the third term, but without any actions, of course, because one country will not have a legitimate action to tell Pierre Nkurunziza to step aside. So people will have to think about how to deal with it, and that is very dangerous. It goes to the crisis, to the explosion of violence, and this is where even the region can be affected. So the other thing is you would expect is that the crisis would take a long time with these useless negotiations, talk, encouragement of talk from the African Union and MINUB, United Nations, and then there will be a lot of crisis, a long time of crisis, and there will be a big movement of refugees in this next month, in the month and a half that the East African community has given the government to reorganize elections. You expect a lot of people getting out of Burundi, and even now it has started. A big movement of people now are leaving Burundi, expecting that tomorrow there can be war, because you have a lot of people being arrested and found their houses and killed, and families of former military, especially Tutsi military, being arrested. So there is a sense that the government, Pierre Nkurunziza and his team, are trying to find opportunity to revenge of what happened in the 60s and 70s, things like that. So it's hard to see something hopeful really coming in these elections. And I think from all most of the comments that I heard from different people, it's very difficult to see any hopeful scenario coming forth.
Most of the media attention in America, at least, has been on the capital, on Bujumbura. Is it significantly different in the countryside?
Yeah, I think that's one of the critiques we can address to those international media, not being able to go in the upcountry and see what's going on and just getting interested in protests and police activities only, which is very important because this is where the government violent activities are taking place. And this is where you find people who have agencies and who have been able to resist to Imbonerakure control and re-raise the voice and challenge the government and protest and raise the voice saying that we don't want you anymore. But you go in a rural area where people are very frustrated and completely controlled by the Imbonerakure and who cannot raise voice because people will be killed. But people like the displacement camps where you find people from one ethnic groups, for example, the Tutsi, where they are most of the time threatened by these Imbonerakure saying that at any time we get permission, we're going to kill you and send you back to Somalia, send you back to Ethiopia, and you have escaped in 93, but this time you're not going to escape. So, and these people just paying on themselves, they don't have no one to talk to, because before, if anything like that take place, because it started taking place before Nkurunziza was nominated to be the candidate, when the Imbonerakure were doing violent campaign based on ethnicity. But this was reported to the media and in local organizations, and it was brought up and then it was discouraged. But now no one is reporting it, but we're hearing that this is taking place. My little brother, who lives in Gitega, told me that some of his Imbonerakure friends clearly mentioned that if something happens, for example, if there is any prominent leader of CNDD-FDD dies today, that we target Tutsi and that we kill them. And he was asking how he can find me here. So this is a really concerning situation, actually similar to what happened in 72, because in 72, when President Michombero started systematically picking up Hutus intellectuals and killing them, what he started doing first was to shut down one private media. Its name was Kodak. Yeah, it was linked to a Protestant church, and he shut it down. And then what happened, no one knew what happened in the right time. People wanted to discover what happened after many months.
So you mentioned the Imbonerakure. Who are they exactly? Is that an arm of the government or...?
Yeah, the Imbonerakure is a youth wing of the ruling party,
okay,
which has been trained for a long time and distributed weapons and weapons bought to China, according to different investigations. It was revealed first that they are being armed last year in April by the UN cable. And cable mentioned that there were weapon distribution taking place in different parts, and even giving some names of people who were arming these young people. And this report have been now coming from the media, organizations, and everyone. And the civil society calling the United Nations to do investigations and approve it, and then stop it or disarm it. So now, these are the people who are using those weapons and then controlling the situation.
What do you see as the necessary role for foreign interests in Burundi right now?
Right. So far, what people are claiming, are looking for, is for the international community to proactively tell Pierre Nkurunziza to stop running for the third term. However, at this point, this will not bring peace. This is justice. This will need to be done. However, this will not prevent violence at this level because the tension has gone so high to the point that any action that is going to be done, it may end up bringing violence. So for me, as a peace builder, what I always tell the media and everyone to do is to focus on making sure that there are structures and systems that are there to protect the people in case there is mass violence that breaks up. And I think, unfortunately, the UN Security Council, which we thought will pass a resolution that we do that, has failed to find a consensus, because anytime they try to do it, China and Russia boycotted it, just defending the argument of sovereignty. But this time, the sovereignty now is belonging to Pierre Nkurunziza. It's no longer belonging to the people of Burundi. And the people of Burundi are in danger because the Nkurunziza government have taken all its power against a group of people. This is where I think in a national community should see that it has a responsibility to protect. I think we are still really calling in a national community to consider that the situation in Burundi is critical, and it's going to create mass violence, and people need to be serious about how Pierre Nkurunziza and its ruling party prepared to make this battle from 2007 by preparing these young people, arming them, connecting them with Interahamwe, the FDRR who came to instruct them, and also the ethnic campaign that has been going on, that any trigger will bring mass violence, and that really people need to be serious about it. This and make sure that they send some military peacekeepers to make sure they protect people, because this may be just an idea coming from my anxiety or experience that I've lived in, but I take it as serious. If CNDD-FDD leaders realize that Nkurunziza cannot pass, I'm afraid that what Rwanda experienced and Burundi experienced in 93 and 94, it's what would happen in this time in 2015. Trying to remind people about the experience of this region in Burundi and in Rwanda, 93 and 94, when situation went high, the tension went high like this, and then in both countries before massacre and genocide took place, it was the death of a leader, and that was the trigger of genocide in Rwanda, and that was the trigger of mass massacre in Burundi. And if I'm afraid that if this officer of CNDD-FDD realized that Nkurunziza cannot pass, they may kill him, and if that happens, it's going to be terrible.
You think that to a certain extent Nkurunziza organized this situation sort of over the years, sort of to prevent
since 2007 there have been a lot of activities that led to this situation. One was about importing in secret weapons from different parts of the world, and there was weapon distribution to the ruling party young people in Bonerakure. And then after we heard that, they were being trained. And after then we saw and we heard and we witnessed violence education by the Sindh DFDD officer. And those that education were based on ethnic ideology. And today, now we have in Bonerakure working on the very day with the guns in their hands to fight against protesters. And also they go in the house to kill people. So these are evidences that shows that if there is any trigger, there can be mass violence. And that's a process that shows that these have been prepared in the process.
Jean-Claude Nkundwa in Kigali, Rwanda, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
And best wishes and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
For KBOO Evening News, this is Sam Bowman speaking with Jean-Claude Nkundwa, a peace worker based in Burundi, currently living in Kigali, Rwanda.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. And next comes Rose City Native Radio with an interview, live interview with Damien from the One Flaming Arrow Festival.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground Grad School series titled Portland's Urban Native Americans. What you need to know to be an ally. Classes will be